In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have before us, brothers and sisters, a story which tells us in the main three things that I want to concentrate on. It has many, many meanings. The Lord said it for the Jews. The older son is a representation of the Jews, showing that they were ungrateful. And that is an important part of the story. But the most important part of the story is how it applies to each one of us. It is the story about repentance, and the story about God's love for us, and the story about how we can receive this love. Now, in the beginning of the parable, the Lord speaks about the younger one going to his father, asking for the inheritance, going away, spending all of his living on all of his substance on riotous living and harlots and drinking and partying. This is a description of sin. Now, the one who is a fool says, "Well, I'm not like that. You know, I haven't been like that. You know, I sin, but I don't do terrible things like this son did." That person is a fool, and I hope you are not among those kind that think that you don't sin very greatly. If we were truly to look upon our lives, we would see ugliness. Let's be honest about it. Because every time that we are hateful towards someone, and which one of us has ever been, never been hateful towards someone? Every time that we judge someone, every time that we're bitter or angry, it is an ugliness that God sees, and that if we have eyes to see, we would see. So we can liken those sins to the sins of this son. Certainly the son did ugly things. He took his father's money and he spent it wantonly and sinfully. We also take, as it were, our father's money and use it wantonly and sinfully, because we're made in the image of God. And we are created for greatness, for holiness, for purity. And if we don't live according to this way we were created, then we're like this son. So for a person to really receive the forgiveness of God, they must recognize within themselves, as this son did when he came to his senses, that we are truly bereft of goodness without God. And if we are like this son and recognize this, then we can receive God's forgiveness. Now, remember the story? We'll hear it much later in Great Lent, or actually in Holy Week, of the woman who anoints the feet of Jesus with her tears and with myrrh and wipes them with her hair. And the Lord says in regard to this woman that she is forgiven much because she loved much. And then he says, "To whom little is forgiven, that same loveth little." This is also an example of how we must be if we are to receive the forgiveness of God. We have to recognize in ourselves, first of all, that there's a lot that's wrong. A lot that's wrong. Now, the world tells us to always think about the good things in us and to have this good self-image of ourselves, which in many ways is a lie. There's a lot in us that is not good. Do you want to become good? Then recognize what isn't good. Otherwise, how can you work on a problem if you don't think one exists? This younger son went through terrible things that were self-imposed, and then he came to the realization of how truly poor and naked he was. This made him desire to repent, and made him repent fully and completely. Truly, the reason why we lead mediocre lives is because we really don't see ourselves as we really are, and then we don't repent of the things that are within us because we don't see them, or we kind of pass them off. We kind of say, well, you know, everybody's like that. I still remember a person who told me, a person that was very close to me, that said, I don't sin. I've never sinned. Well, you know, sometimes I might get mad at someone, or I might cuss or something, but, you know, I'm only human. That's not really sin. All those things are sin. When we don't love our brother, it is sin. When we are bitter, it is sin. And it's ugly. And it's just as ugly as spending our living on harlots. And when a person realizes this, then they are on the road to perfect sanctity. That's what the saints realized. It's hard to understand this concept because we, in our society, are constantly barraged with this idea of feeling good about ourselves. And, you know, if you talk too much about what's negative about you, then you've got some sort of complex. A Christian knows what's wrong with him, and it doesn't make him full of despondency. Instead, it makes him resolve to say, I will go to my Father, and I will say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. That desire to speak to the Father like this will be met then by the Father giving us everything. It's a difficult concept in our modern society when we feel we have so many rights and so few responsibilities. But if we are to receive God's forgiveness, truly receive His forgiveness, then we must recognize what it is that must be forgiven. So the beginning of the story is the son coming to realize what's wrong with him. And we are like the son. Perhaps not spending our living on harlots, but still there is ugliness within us. And if we recognize this ugliness, then we can be forgiven it. So the son makes his mind up and resolves, I'm going to repent. He expects nothing from his father. All he expects is just to be in the bunkhouse with the hired hands and just to be treated like a servant. And he has confidence that his father will do this. Now the son actually is incorrect. His father, when he sees his repentance, receives him, gives him a ring, which is a sign of grace and a sign of dignity, and sandals for his feet, which you remember being shod with the gospel of righteousness, where St. Paul gives all these different articles of clothing, referring to different virtues. To be shod with sandals is to be able to be righteous, to be able to be at peace. And then the robe, another sign of dignity, and then the fatted calf, which is a reference to the body and blood of Christ, and how this good food will fill us to overflowing. Now the older son, when he saw all the proceedings, there's much to be spoken of with him, but I'll say only one thing. The older son was confident that he was good enough. And so he was angry with his father because he felt he'd already been good. And yes, his older son had been good, but he hadn't been humble. He hadn't recognized within himself the ways in which he had sinned against his father. No, he hadn't spent his living on harlots, but he had not developed the virtues. He had not been full of compassion. And so he had expectations of his father, God, that he didn't deserve to have. The incredibly wonderful, ironic dichotomy in Christian life is that we should expect nothing from God because we're not worthy, and yet we will be given everything. And we know that we will be given everything, and yet we know we deserve nothing. If we have the knowledge of ourselves, of what we truly are, then when God gives to us, we will be filled with gratitude, overflowing. And this is the self-esteem that the world does not speak of correctly. They don't understand what self-esteem truly is. self-esteem is to know what you are and also what God will help you become. To know that you are unworthy and yet God will make you worthy. To know that you are nothing and share nothing with God whatsoever, and yet He says that we will be His sons and daughters. To feel resounding in your heart and resonating every time you say, Our Father, or every time you say the Creed, or you say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, that you are filled with trembling and joy, that you are made a son, a daughter, by grace. If we have this feeling within ourselves, then what can beset us? What can harm us? Nothing. But we have to truly be sorry for our sins. We're mediocre because we're not very sorry for our sins, because we see very few of them, and the ones that we do see, we don't really place much importance on them. Let us not lead mediocre lives. Let us lead triumphant lives. Let us know that we are already like this younger son in our debauchery. Let us be like him in our resolve to repent, in our desire to become good, and then we will become good. It's a difficult thing to understand this. It takes a lifetime really to learn how little we are and how great we will become. To take no pride whatsoever in how great we will become, but always to remember how little we are. It's a very difficult thing. May God grant us the grace to know truly what we're like, so that we can go to our Father and be truly repentant and then receive everything that He desires for us. Amen.